Hey you, super happy that you're tuning into this episode, and today I would like you to meet Joanne O'Neill. She's a very experienced and award-winning avant-garde hairdresser who started her professional career in 1987. Today she works for numerous productions, runs her own salon and gives masterclasses to teach her art to the next generations of hairdressers. In this conversation, we are talking about Joanne's deep passion hair, the power of a generous mentor in the beginning of a young career, her way to the British Hair Awards, and we discuss a book that has paved her way to success, which is called The War of Art. Another big topic is the energy of working with a large professional team on set, which is exactly what we experienced when we met through working together on a very large project in Sicily, Italy last year, where we have been touring through Sicily for 14 days with a crew of 30 people that photographer Moya had gathered around him to make this project become reality. Last but not least, Joanne is probably the most kind person I ever worked with in the creative industry, and she has the most wonderful accent. And it's my big pleasure to welcome her to the show and have her share her story with you. Are you ready for big hair? Here's Joanne. Enjoy.
Joanne, it's great to see you, and I'm wonderful. I really am. I'm excited about what we're going to chat about and share experiences of work and creativity.
That's amazing.
Wonderful. Thank you for having me.
You're so welcome. When we met in Sicily and we had those, I remember that we had this discussion in the heat outside of the first location on the first day. And I asked you that, I think my hair is really crap at the moment. What can we do about this? And you were so kind to say, yes, you're right, but we can do something about that. And I really appreciated that. So, and then when I was back, I remember that I was running to my hairdresser and I called you from there, and we were discussing what we can do. And that was so nice. And
yeah, where to go with the haircut. Yes, you got a really lovely bob. I can remember. I have to see what it's like when you take your cap off. I didn't get to see it today, but that lovely bob, it wasn't a good look for you, I don't think.
No.
Much nicer if it's all softened out. Yeah.
Yeah. So that's why it's always good to speak to a professional. No, honestly.
Yeah, to give you their honest opinion.
But it was so much fun to work with you and to meet. But before we dive into that, for the people that don't know you, could you please give the creative family a little background on who you are, where you live, and what you're doing?
Well, I am 51 years old, so I'll start with that. I've been hairdressing a long time. I've been hairdressing for probably 30 years. I love it. I loved it from the beginning. I think I started when I was 16, and I loved it. I loved the creativity of it. I loved the people that I met, and I loved how fashion and fun and energetic it was.
Yes.
And still is. And that every day you're learning something new. That was the most important thing. I always want to think that I'm taking a step forward, never a step back. Every day, every day that you're learning something new, it keeps vibrant. And probably as I've got older, that's something that's become more important to me. But I live in County Antrim in Northern Ireland, and I have two children. I have a son who's 24 and he's a doctor, and my daughter is 14 and she's just about to start her GCSEs at school. And cool. My husband is an engineer and he loves his job. And I think we make a great couple because he's very interested in his work and I'm very interested in my work. And then we chat about it and we've lots to talk about and, different interests, and he's different hobbies than I have and different circle of friends. And then we can all come together and have, lots to chat about. So I have a great family life. It's always full of fun and everybody's running to do something different. And then it's nice to meet up at the weekend and get to chat about what we've been doing. So yeah, a balance of work and family life is very, very important, and that you have great support of my parents. I have two brothers and two sisters, And they all have family.
That's a good
you know,
size
we're very close. It's a big family. And my husband, he has got five brothers. Sorry, there's five boys of them. So he's four brothers and four sisters. So, and they have family. So when we get together, it's very loud.
Wow, you need a big location.
But lots of fun.
That's amazing.
So that's a bit of background on me.
That's so cool. Thank you for unfolding this a little bit. And I can see you're smiling and I can see that you're really happy.
I think when you start talking about people that you love and family and friends, and it just makes you smile. You can't help but be happy.
That's the most important thing. And but where I also saw you like glow up was when you were talking about your passion, your job as a hairdresser. And I'm curious, what did get you excited on being into hair?
Well, how it started for me was probably when I was about 14 at school. I absolutely loved art. It was I just was going to be like an artist or a fashion designer or something to do with art and creating things. I was very into arts and crafts. And my teacher didn't think I was. She didn't think I was a very good artist at all. But I remember seeing this dress made by Vivienne Westwood. Mm-hmm. And I said, I really want to make a dress like Vivienne Westwood. And she said, no, you can't make a dress. You have to use a pattern. You can't, you know, just be creative and make a dress out of nothing. And I remember feeling quite deflated at school because I did get an A in art, which was like the highest score. But she said to me, you know, that's a low A, not a high A. she really didn't like my art, but the people judging the art really liked it because I wasn't a very good at fine art, but I had great ideas. I had lots and lots of ideas. And when I was trying to choose what I was going to do as a young person, you know, what job am I going to do? I remember just flicking through Vogue magazine and, you know, thinking, what am I going to do? I kept seeing the models and how different they looked in each fashion show. And the most different thing about them was their hair. And I thought, wow, that model had long hair in the Vivienne Westwood show. And then on the front cover of Vogue, the same model looked completely different and her hair was in this short bob. And I thought, wow, this is amazing. I think I'm going to do that. You know, change people through their hair. So I decided I would go to college and I started in college and I was very in-depth then learning about the education. I really wanted to know everything exactly about how to colour somebody's hair properly, how to cut it properly, you know, the proper products to use, how to protect people's hair. So I wasn't just wanting to be, you know, cutting hair straight away. I wanted to know exactly the proper way to do things on people's hair. So that was very important to me. And then also, the first thing I did when I was 16 was enter a hair competition. And the competition was called Avant-Garde. And I didn't know what that was, but when I read the entry form, it said that you could be as creative as you want it to be with hair. Oh. So then I started researching avant-garde hairstyles in the local library because you have to remember in the 80s, there was no internet.
Yes.
I had no computer or, you know, the only images I could find were images in magazines. So, of course, this hairdresser kept coming up, Sam McKnight. Sam McKnight was making these wigs and doing these hair creations for the catwalk. And then I was trying my best to source wigs and things in local shops and buy wigs and make extensions and make my own wigs, really. And I had no clue. Nobody in Northern Ireland could show me how to make a wig. You know, you were just doing it by yourself. But because I love being creative and just sewing things together, and I just made these wigs. And I started that when I was about 17 years old. And then the first my boss at the time, I worked in a local salon in Ballymena, which is a very small town, and he was a great character. That's how I would describe him. He was very creative himself. He was, you know, a bit way out, a bit avant-garde himself. And he would have encouraged me every way and give me lots of help and showed me how to make these hair pieces and helped me make hair pieces and actually facilitated and took me to a hair show and allowed me to enter through the salon. And we won the competition. Wow. I was 17 years old. Wow, and honestly, amazing. That just gave me this.
That was a
kickstart. Insatiable.
Yeah.
It was like an addiction for like the next like 5 years. I entered that competition like 3-4 times a year. But it was because of his help, you know, the help that I got and the encouragement, and just found a real passion for doing hair.
What a wonderful start. And what a wonderful, what's that, ignition of your passion in it. Because if you get that approval in the beginning of your career, wow, that must have felt wonderful.
And somebody to actually help, somebody that was interested. And even, it's like you couldn't maybe afford to clothe, you know, to buy the clothes. And because whenever you went to the hair competition, of course, you were up against maybe some of the very big salons that had lots of money. I was 17. I didn't have any money. You know, I didn't want to ask my mum and dad to give me money for buying clothes for a model whenever, you know, I had young brothers and sisters at home that needed shoes and clothes. And, you know, really in Northern Ireland, it was a time when there was bombs and, you know, people didn't have much money and there was a lot of hardship, you know. So you were making, my boss, his name was Nevin Torrens, and we called him Sticky. That was his nickname, Sticky Torrens. And he showed me how we just got a great big roll of, do you know what it was? Do you know, like, for protecting tables and a big dust sheet.
Yes.
Do you know what that is?
Yes.
Like a sheet for protecting furniture. And he bought me one of those. It was like an old one that he'd had, you know, using. And he said to me, I think we could use that dust sheet. And he actually helped me. We rolled it and made it into a dress for the model to wear. So, you know, he was such a great help.
And just the opposite of your art teacher, actually. So he saw your potential and he was supporting you and helping you being creative.
Yes.
Right? And what a difference it makes.
And he didn't have to throw lots of money at it. It was, you know, it was everything was done with very little money being spent. But we had lots and lots of fun.
That's so cool. Wow. That's, I think having someone like that in your life, especially in that stage when you begin and when you, you know, you don't have the resources and everything. And if someone that believes in you and supports you, that's like winning the lottery. Even if it's not with money, it's not, money's not the most important thing in that.
No.
But actually it's never.
I do think a lot of young people, I find a lot of young people that I meet through education courses now, they think that unless you're spending lots of money, that you're not going to be good, or that what you're going to create isn't going to be good. And that's so far from the truth. You know, the things that you can create yourself out of pieces of old clothing or bric-a-brac around the house or old, you know, coverings and fabric, you could make something really amazing for very little money.
Yeah. Well, it's so funny that we both have this passion for working with hair and really specialized in that. Nonetheless, we do completely different work. And but if you screw up, there's no undo button, just like for me. No, just kidding. But hair is such an amazing topic. And what do you enjoy the most when working with hair?
Oh, that's a hard question for me, because I just love the feeling, the whole fabric of hair. I just love the, I suppose it's how it makes the model look. It's how the wind catches it.
Yeah.
It's, you know, it's just bringing it to life, because if the hair, you can make the hair really sleek and shiny, it just finishes off a look. It's so important, because if the hair's not nice, it doesn't suit the model's face, it doesn't suit the theme of the photo shoot. It just can bring the whole thing together. It can really go against a shoot if the hair is not right.
Yeah. So where do you find inspiration, and what are your influences, or how did your influences change over time?
I suppose but in my early years, and I suppose I was maybe copying celebrities. What was celebrity hair like? That was my influence when I was young. I loved people like David Bowie. I loved, you know, Madonna. All these people, when you're growing up, that you just think, oh, that's so cool. I love their hair. But as you get older and you become more, you're developing your skills and developing your own ideas and creativity, I suppose I took more inspiration from nature, really. Things that I see around me. Maybe people on the street. Mm-hmm. You know, what's young people on the street doing? What's the feeling? More than just copying what I could see. I suppose that's... And that's what I do now. I kind of go more for feelings and, you know, maybe how things look more in nature, and that's where I find inspiration.
Did you ever notice, are there any patterns that are like repeating in over time, that some things are coming back that you thought would never come back? Is there any
absolutely, definitely hair shapes and things that you would have seen in the 70s and 80s and even the 90s. There's some techniques, but they're coming back, but they've got like a slight, they've got a twist on them, which makes them more current. So it's, you don't want to have an 80s hairstyle. You might want to have a bit of an influence of 80s, like a cool 80s look, but it definitely wouldn't be something that you'd have seen in the 80s. It's bringing it up to date. It's using your new, maybe say, new technology, new products. That's what helps you create maybe a new look, is maybe a new product, because a lot of products and technology and hot tools that we use now wouldn't have been available in the 80s. So you're creating lovely new images and lovely sharp lines with these lovely new products and things that really give you an age, give the whole overall hairstyle an age.
Yeah, I think that's what creative people like you and me and other people in the creative industry like, that you work with like a certain style or trend, and you reinterpret it and you give it that twist that you mentioned, and you can be so creative with that. And it's so nice to break rules and do something creative with it. I think that is what makes this job so unique, so that you can always play.
And plus, I think when you're into it, when you're experienced and you really love working at something, You can't copy anything, because you just have so much in your mind that you want to create yourself, and you just have a freedom with it. Because once you've, I suppose, educated yourself, you've practiced your techniques, and you talk about breaking rules. Really, I hear people saying all the time, oh, they break the rules. But you have to know the education behind everything. Absolutely. You have to know how products work. You have to know how hair works. There's no such thing as breaking the rules. It's actually using things properly and creating, you know, the effect, creating the look, working with other people and listening to what they want to see, but also putting your own idea, your own spin on that overall look. And that's why it's important when you're working as part of a team that you're bringing yourself. I found sometimes working on a photo shoot that maybe people hold back and don't bring their, they kind of just do what people tell them to do. Mm-hmm. I would prefer to say, this is what I like, but I'm happy for you to bring your own expertise on board. And I think that's what people want to see. They want to see you elevate something and bring your own self to it. And for me, I can't help it now. I'm too old not to sit back. I just want to, I'm here, I'm going to do it and put my own mark on it.
Yes. And I think that's why you were there, why everybody is or should be there, right? You're hired because someone sees the creativity in you And they, most of the time, they want you to do what you do best, and they want your creativity. Mm-hmm. And that's something that is very important for young artists to hear. I think that you have to go for your gut feeling and try, and you can always pivot on the way, but it's not important to hold back. It's the complete opposite. Just be brave and go for it. And if you have like your first boss, if you got someone like that, or if you get someone in the team like you, that is encouraging people, that is so important to, even if you see that on set, give that person that is maybe holding back a little notch and say, hey, go for it. And that's the spirit, I think. Joanne, speaking of passion and inspiration, prior to the show, I asked you to please send in your favorite image. And for the audience, this is always to connect to you as the guests, showing an image that has a special meaning to you throughout your career, or that happened to you over the course of the work that you do. And could you please describe to the listeners what they see when they go to the social post to check out the image?
This image was created. It was quite a while ago. I did. I'd always wanted to enter the British Hairdressing Awards.
Oh, okay.
And I kept thinking, if I get, you know, if I could get good at hairdressing, you know, the way you always think, if you can make yourself better, if you can, you know, make better hair pieces, if you get more experience, and you know, how can I be better? And I remember I've entered the British Hairdressing Awards 3 times, and 3 times got selected as a finalist for Avant-Garde, which is a really, really big deal for me.
Yes.
And the images never really went anywhere. Or the first 2 times that I entered, they never really got to go in maybe, say, a magazine or, you know, whatever. But I entered for the final time that I entered. I can't remember the date, but I'll let you know the date. And I had entered with a model that I really, really liked, that I'd seen on social media, and I did everything that I could to get hold of the model in question. And it was a young photographer in London that did the shot. And do you know what? I'm trying to think of his name now as well. What's that young fella's name? Tony Le Breton was his name. And I went to meet him in London, and we had a chat about the photo shoot. And he was very energetic and young, and I felt that he brought a lot to the photo shoot, that he was really going to, you know, elevate the work that I was going to do. And everything I was making, everything, all the pieces were at home and working towards this photo shoot. I'm trying to think of the date. Was it 2015? I think it might have been 2015. And we did the photo shoot. And honestly, I was a very tight budget. And Tony was, you know, it was costing a lot of money to do the photo shoot. And I put myself under a lot of pressure. And I had a salon, I had a client come to the salon, and she had this book. And it was, what was the book called? It was so important, this book. I still have it in the house, but it's a long time since I've read it. The book is called The War of Art. That's what the book was called.
Okay.
And I had a client in the salon at the time, and she was listening to me go on about how much pressure I was feeling under, because I was spending a lot of money on the photo shoot. I had booked this really top model at the time in London. I was going to do the photo shoot in London. It was the first time I'd went to London. I'd organized 2 top clothes stylists as well to do the, you know, I'd really put myself under serious financial pressure. And even because the photographer is lovely, he really is a lovely fella, and he wouldn't want to put you under pressure. But he would have said things to me like, oh, I work with this hairdresser and I work with that hairdresser, and they do this kind of work. You know, their work is really good, and you need to keep it really fresh, and you need to keep your work on the edge, and all these. And I was taking this all on board, you know, really building the pressure in my own mind and thinking, oh my goodness, maybe I'm not good enough to be doing this, and I'm spending all this money. And, you know, my husband is very supportive, and it's like, you know, Joanne, don't worry about the money. As long as you enjoy it, you know, that's the most important thing. And so I was telling my client this in the chair. She was a lovely, lovely lady. And she said to me, Joanne, I have a book that I'm going to give to you and you need to read it. And it's called The War of Art. And it's a book that just talks about kind of that imposter syndrome, not having belief in yourself. So I took this book from Anne and I went home and I started reading it. And every page, every single page, I could connect with what the writer was saying. And only for that book, I don't think I could have actually went through with the photo shoot. And what happened was I was making the hair pieces at home while I was reading the pages of this book. And it came to a piece in the book called The Muses, which are ancient Greek,
yes,
the Muses. And it talked about the Muses through the book. And I actually based my photo shoot on the Muses. I ended up calling it the Muses. And when I create, now I didn't win British Hairdresser, Avant-Garde Hairdresser of the Year, but I did get through. And a lot of people contacted me to say, Joanne, your work is incredible. The photo shoot was such a big success. You know, I got a lot of work from it. I got a lot of interest in it. It went in loads of magazines. It even went to Las Vegas, where it was used as a great big image.
Wow.
For a hair and beauty show in Las Vegas. It was the big advertising poster for it. And it was called A Touch of Magic, is what they called it. And they had it on a great big billboard. And then also it went to St. Petersburg.
Okay.
And it was in an art exhibition in St. Petersburg, which I never got to see, but I got sent a video. The lady that ran the art exhibition sent me through a video. And that image was in the exhibition in St. Petersburg. And I would have loved to go up, but it was during COVID that the exhibition took place. And it just was such an amazing image to get, such an amazing image for me,
yes,
you know. And with the anxiety and the worry that I had over the photo,
wow,
shoot, it all ended up.
Thank you
amazing.
So much for sharing this story, because that, you know, that again proves that you just have to, you know, sometimes you have to just do what you feel like. So you have to overcome fear. And I think that's by going through fear. And
the fear, I remember at the time, the fear, it was not a good experience for me, because I kept at the time thinking, if I didn't have that book to read,
yeah,
it really, like, really helped me, because I put myself under so much stress and worry and pressure about creating that I nearly had lost the ability to create. I didn't even know where I was going to go with the images. And then the book actually really helped me and helped me build, and it really got me over it. And I have the book still in the drawer. I've read it a couple of times.
Oh, for sure. We will put
and
that link
I'd
to the book.
I highly recommend it for anybody that,
yes,
loves doing art.
Yes, we will, you know, we will put that book into the show notes so that people can get a copy of it. That's,
yeah,
I want to read it.
It was a great book.
And it's such a nice story. And, you know, that's why I love talking about images that are close to your heart. Because you will never see the story behind it if you don't talk about this. And so thank you so much for,
yeah,
this insight. And I'm really curious about what the audience will say to that story when we post it on the social post. This is such a strong, powerful story.
I'm going to look and see if I could.
Really amazing. Let's have a look back on your career so far. And by showing what you've been going through already with this kind of story you just told and the way you got there. I think it's not only me that is curious what actually avant-garde hairdressing is exactly. And I remember hearing you say that you like to compare it to haute couture fashion. And is that correct?
Yes, definitely. For a hairdresser, it's the haute couture of,
yes,
of hair, because as a hairdresser, your main, or always your main aim is to please your client or your customer in the chair or whatever. But it's like taking your hairdressing and your skills to another level and showing off, really. Is it showing off what you can do? So it's not that I want anybody walking down the street or going to do their grocery shop with crazy mad hair, but it's like taking, making art out of hair. That's what it is for me. It's just total freedom. It's not the model's own hair. It's hair that I make. It's extensions or wigs, things that I make that she just wears as clothing or a headdress, or that's how it appears to me. And it's just purely showing off.
That's so wonderful. And I encourage everyone to check out your Instagram profile, and because you share so much of the work you do there. And I also saw that you have a masterclass on making this kind of hairstyles. And yes, people can check it out there, right?
I got asked to do that through a lovely fella called Paul Davey, who works in Dublin. And Paul is on this new education program called Hairdressing Live. And he has different guest artists on there, and it's a great education platform. And he asked me, would I come and do a masterclass on avant-garde hair? So I go on there and I've chatted about, I've taken people right through the whole process of how to make the pieces and how to put them on. And I build it from the girl's hair right up to the finished photo shoot. We end up doing a bit of a photo shoot at the end. So yeah, it was a lot of fun, a lot of fun, a lot of pressure as well, because there's only so much you can plan it. But it's, for me, sometimes when I make hair, avant-garde hair pieces, I'm making them so delicately that I only use them once. I never do the same hairstyle twice. I always change it. I always reuse the hair because hair is very, very expensive. So I like to change the color or change the texture or, you know, change it about. I never do the same avant-garde hair piece twice.
Yes. We will link also the masterclass for people that are interested in seeing your work actually being created. I think that's really, really cool.
Oh, thank you.
And you took a major decision. I read in one of your interviews that you were changing your salon business in recent years. And may I ask you to unfold this a little bit and tell us why you did this and what made you change?
Yes, I decided that, you know, I decided it was actually just before COVID that I wanted to be part of, I suppose, session hairdressing, that I wanted to get myself on a particular hair team, that I wanted to go and do more creative work. I wanted to go to London. I wanted to do photo shoots. I wanted to work as a session hairdresser, mm-hmm. Assisting on shows. I don't want to run my own show. I just want to have the freedom to go to London or travel the world. This year, so far, I've been to Milan and Paris for the fashion weeks, which has been amazing.
Oh, yeah, that was just recently, right?
I decided I wanted the freedom to do that, because when you run a hair salon that I've had for 30 years, you've had clients for a long time, and people don't take, you know, that you want to go away for 3 weeks.
It's like, yes, they need their
haircut. Pressure on you. You know, it's not their fault. Of course, they're, you know, people have, you know, weddings in their own life. They have events that they have to go to. They need their hair cut and they need it colored. And if they've been coming to you for a long time, they feel that they've supported you all this time, and that, well, basically, you owe it to them to do their hair. So I was under quite a bit of pressure because the salon was extremely busy. I had no freedom from the salon at all. So I started off doing small things, like I stopped doing weddings, because wedding hair is booked a year in advance, yes, maybe more.
Yes.
So that automatically takes away your freedom. Then I stopped doing blow dries because people were coming maybe weekly or twice a week to have a blow dry done. And again, that was booking the salon quite far in advance. And you needed to be there. So I took all that out of the salon. I just stopped. And now I've took the decision to just work 3 days a week. So it's been a slow process. kind of really taking the salon down to a level that I can manage, but also helping me keep that I can still have money coming in, which is really important. So I've had to think about maybe doing colour and cutting, because those clients only want their hair done maybe 6 or 8 weeks or maybe 12 weeks. And it's less customers, but just a wee bit more revenue. You know, I can try and create a little bit more revenue for the time that I am there. And plus give those clients the absolute attention that the colour and the cut deserves. And I'm not, if I have to cancel, they're happy to wait another week. It's fine. But if it was a wedding, you couldn't cancel it.
No.
So that was the thinking behind the change in the salon.
Well, I guess that freed you up for more creative projects. And so you just mentioned that you've been to the fashion shows this year of Milan and Paris. So how was that? What did you experience there?
The experience that I get, I'm so grateful to be on an amazing team. I'm so grateful because they're so talented, and I have little experience for session work, and I found that I've got so much help and not a help as such, but friendship, really, you know, kindness, friendship, you know, the work that you do is good. And, you know, just being taken along as part of the team is just amazing. Working at Fashion Week is busy, hectic. You have to be on time.
Yes.
It's stressful, but not really for me. You know, I've always been a person that does what they're told and be in a certain position at that time. I love being on time. I love being where I'm supposed to be. And I don't know, I love the job. It really suits me doing the Fashion Week thing or doing the work that we did in Sicily. You're there at a certain time. You have a certain time to start. And I love the structure of it. I really do. I love that you have a certain time to be there and you just turn up and you work really hard. I love working really hard and then going home. What I like doing. I like to be full on busy, full on mental noise, you know, everything rushing about, and then it stops. That's what I like.
I think I can relate to that. It's so nice to every once in a while get out into the wild, meet new people, crazy people, and you have a big team, and then you have this kind of exciting experience around yourself for a couple of days, and then you get so much energy, and then you can get back home, and you've got things to talk about.
Mix of people, because we're working with crazy mad videographers. It's not even just the catwalk show anymore, because it's these people doing videos and Instagram and TikTok, and then you've got the photographer who needs his shot, and then you've got the clothes designer, you know. He's God on set, because he's the person that you're there working for. You've got the hair team and everybody with their, you know, some people have got big egos, you know. I don't have an ego. Well, I obviously have an ego to do what I do, but I don't, I'm quite quiet. I like to just hang back, see what's happening. I'm there to do a job, you know, and do the best job that I possibly can do. So that's the ego that I kind of bring when I'm working to somebody. I'm there to do the best that I possibly can do and help everybody, you know, because just being kind and being helpful makes things work better.
And that's what you do.
That's what I try to bring to the shoot.
That's what you do. And I saw you work like that, and that's exactly how I got to know you. And You're really one of the good ones.
Oh, thank you. thank you very much.
You're so welcome. There was this question that I had in my head all the time, which I wanted to ask you is what's the biggest challenge you're facing in your job right now, and how are you tackling it?
the biggest challenge, I think, is it has to be the same for a lot of people. It's like keeping your confidence. I struggle a bit with confidence, and I can give myself a talking to and say, come on, you need to do this. But in reality, it is hard sometimes to kind of keep your confidence, because the simplest little thing, if you forget something, or, you know, if you forgot it for a second time, or, you know, the slightest little thing can knock your confidence. So confidence is something that I do struggle with, and I suppose that's what I rely on family. I rely on my husband. He's just a phone call away. And I suppose I rely heavily on him at times to give me a talking to and say, you can do this, you know, don't worry about it. And he kind of takes away your worries and things. So I'm very, very fortunate that way. And my son and daughter are the same. It's like, oh, mama, you're great. You can do this. And so that positivity keeps you going. And that's really, to be honest, I suppose I struggled with the salon as well, you know, working out my times and letting people down that have been coming to me for years. And that was a very low point for me, was the thought of letting people down that I've known for a long time. And, you know, a lot of people were very upset about not getting their hair done, and they take it quite personally. And it's not meant that way. It's just a change of career. But it's been a struggle, I suppose, that confidence thing and a bit of anxiety. And it is hard. It's hard to get through that sometimes. But it's just, you just have to, I suppose I just keep saying to myself, just one step at a time, one day at a time, you know, things, thank goodness I've got like an optimistic outlook. And I kind of keep saying things will get, you know, it'll keep getting better. Just kind of keep trying. Keep moving forward. And I try only to get involved in projects and work with people who I feel I gel with and who I feel are kind and are nice. And I just, if anybody gives me like a side eye or if anything's difficult or I feel in a difficult situation, I just decide I'm not doing that again.
Yeah. Well,
life's too short.
You're so open about this, and I really appreciate your honesty on this, because that's a sensitive topic. And it's not easy to talk about this, but, you know, I think it's so important to give the creative community and family this kind of openness to actually speak up and accept that things can be hard, especially in the life of a creative such as yours. And, you know, life's always like in waves. And it's so important to understand that it's okay to feel like this, and to it's so great that you have got that kind of family support, because that's not common everywhere. Because with people moving to other cities and countries, and I think it's very, very important and great that you have this as your backup, and seeing that life is not about work all the time.
Yeah. And I do think over the years, and because I've always had to go away to work on my own, I always travel on my own, because there's not many opportunities here in Northern Ireland to do the things that I want to do. So I've always had to travel. And I think if you show a little kindness to people, I think that's a good way of, I suppose, having a good aura around you, or just to be kind. And I think if everybody in the world was just a little bit kinder, I think it would be easier. So I do approach that. Even if I'm sitting there at the airport a wee while ago during COVID, when I was traveling, one of the flights was cancelled. And there was a young girl, she was a young nurse, she was only about 19, and she was traveling from London, and it was her first time on her own. She was just sitting opposite me, and she just started to cry, and the tears were rolling. And I remember thinking to myself, I remember being that age, and actually I was older than her. I was probably 29 or 28, and remember feeling very afraid and alone, and worrying about, you know, how you were going, you know, what you're going to do with a cancelled flight and how you get sorted. So I just kind of spoke over to her and I said, you know, do you need any help to rebook your flight? And, you know, where are you from? And I chatted to her, and she was fine, and she got sorted with her flight. But I think if you're conscious and, you know, just be kind to people, it makes you feel better as well. It makes me feel better if I show a little kindness, or, you know, you feel like you've helped somebody, or, you know, it's just the way I think to approach life.
Yes. I can't add anything to that. That's exactly it. And speaking of that, what I always love to do in this show is, you know, bring some feedback in for the guest. And I also did for you. I asked our mutual colleague and Sicily buddy, Patty, he's a makeup artist, for those that don't know, that has Patty McGurgan. He worked with us in the Sicily project. And I asked him if he could send me a little feedback for you. If you're up for it, I would just play it for you now.
So there are so many different things that I value about working with Joanne. Not only do I feel completely confident that the hair is always going to be perfectly done to suit any look, and for me as a makeup artist, to find a hairdresser where you can work together and complement each other's work and not overpower each other is really special. And in the process, we have so much fun and so many laughs, and it really helps, especially when you're on a long shoot, to have a little bit of fun with the people that you're working with. And Joanne's just one of those people. When I see her name on the call sheet, that I'm so happy that it's there, and I know that we're going to have a really good day, a really good shoot, and we're going to walk away with something we're really proud of.
So that's Patty.
Oh, that is so lovely. He is just the best.
Yes.
The best person.
Yeah, for everybody that doesn't know him, Patty is, he's like a machine of happiness and fun. And he's
so talented.
He's so talented and such.
Remember,
a kind
he played
person.
The organ and did Irish dancing.
Oh yeah,
and
oh yes, yeah,
he can do anything. Yes. He can sing.
We have to tell the story. First of all, thank you, Patty, for giving us your feedback on Joanne. And we have to tell this story, Joanne. I think it was it the second last day when we were in Sicily on top of the mountain. And on a very chilly day, and we were sitting in that pizza place.
We couldn't have been higher in the mountain. It was like right up at the very, very tip of this mountain.
So the highest point in Sicily. And so we were sitting in that pizza place, and there was this guy. What's that called in English, that instrument?
An accordion. We call it an accordion.
Yes, it's the same then in German. So there was this guy playing this accordion, and I guess it was you that knew that he can play that, or yes. And then he,
oh yes, I spilled the beans.
And then we when you lifted that secret, we all cheered for him to play it. And I guess that guy, he wasn't really comfortable with giving his accordion away because he was afraid that Patty might be better, which he was. And he just played there, and for the whole team. And it was such, and he was singing too, right?
Yeah. And, oh, he's just fantastic.
And that
he's
was
amazing.
That was such a nice experience. I think I still have a recording of that. So yes, that was really, really nice. So we're going to continue with the interactive part of the show. And I would love to read you the question from the previous guest that she left for you. Her name is Jeanette Bonnet. She is a creative director working at Amazon Prime Video. And she asked, if you could travel back in time, would you go for the same career again?
Yes, I would. But I would probably go for the career that I have now.
Yes.
The session hairdresser. I would tell myself to have a little bit more confidence and a little bit more belief in myself. And I would want to do the session styling that I'm doing right now at this time. That's what I would probably do. That's the only change. Just like a little tweak. That's all.
That's wonderful.
But then you can't take away from all your experiences, but Yeah, what I'm doing right now, I absolutely love.
That's so cool.
That's a great question.
And I also have a few questions from the creative family, from social media. And Sarah asks, do you also work for big fashion shows, and how to get to work at the big fashion shows, if I may ask?
Yes, that's a really good question. And a lot of people asked, to be honest, I used to ask myself, and nobody would ever tell you how you can get to work at fashion shows. And I can tell you the secret how to get to be on a fashion show.
Oh, listen up, everybody.
And the truth of it is, yeah, get ready for this big reveal. What you have to do is approach the agencies. That's what I did. I made a portfolio of my work. I tried to look at the website of the agency that you want to work for, and make your portfolio look like what they, you know, the type. You have to know what kind of work you want to do. So you have to project the work that you want to do and put that in your portfolio and find, you know, I had to find a photographer to help me create images and find models to create images. It was a lot of work putting together a portfolio. And then it was a lot of work going around agencies and trying my best to get interviews to show them the portfolio and to talk and say, you know, I know you have 160 people on your list, but why can't you pick me? Just pick me. So it's having a bit of belief in yourself, and you have to put a lot of work in. Nobody's going to come and just say, oh, yes, you're wonderful, I'll take you. You have to do a lot of work, a lot of legwork, a lot of asking, emailing. And I did a lot of work. I did a lot of portfolio work to make sure that when I was able to present a portfolio to some of the agencies to try and get your foot in the door, it's not easy. I didn't find it easy. It was quite difficult. And also you have to show that you can be on time, you know, be reliable.
Yeah, as you said,
and
there was
always
a lot of stress.
And I always said yes. Yeah, yes, yes, yes to everything. I made nothing a problem because I live in Belfast. Most of the agencies are in London, which is like across the Irish Sea. So at the start, I probably told a bit of a lie. I didn't tell a lie. I just didn't tell them that I lived in Belfast, and they didn't really ask. They thought I was living in London. So I always had that little flight to get to come to London. And at the start, I just didn't tell anybody. I just pretended that I was in London, and I just ran to every option that they give me. I just was there sitting, waiting on it with my bag ready to go. And I had a built up a really good kit as well, making sure you've got good equipment, you know, and be ready to go. So that's the secret.
That's a very strong
hard work.
That's a strong one, but so true. And Jenny asks, how to market yourself best as a hair artist? Is there any insights that you can give?
Well, it depends, I suppose, on the work that you want to do. For me, if you were marketing yourself as a salon hairdresser, which I've never done, I've never had to advertise my salon ever in my life, because I suppose what I did from I was about 16, 17 was I entered hair competitions.
Yes.
So as much as my hair was avant-garde, I also did enter ladies' haircut, ladies' colour. I did everything, to be honest. And also avant-garde was probably my first love. But I also entered the other competitions and was always quite successful in those as well, which was really good. But I entered them at national level and international level. And I always loved photographic work. So I never really targeted salon clients. But what happened was when it would have went in a magazine, when work would have went in a magazine or the newspaper picked it up back in the day. Now it's social media. But back in the day when I was starting off, people used to call the salon and say, the girl that won the competition for the avant-garde, I want an appointment with her because if that's what she can do with her, I'm so excited to find out what she'll do with mine. So it's like fashion designing, but for hair. It's like people don't want to wear the clothes that's on the catwalk. It inspires them. So the hair that I did was always to inspire people and for them to think, oh, she's so creative. I wonder what she'd do with me.
Yes.
So that always worked for me. The other thing that I would say, I've used social media again to my advantage, because it's for like clients, like when you want to get work, use your social media to show how professional you are. You know, that's really important. Rather than, I don't like personal stuff on social media. I just think it's like your online portfolio. Show the best person that you can be. Show how good you are at what you do, whether it's a live video or, you know, photographs or how-tos, whatever you want to get into. I wish, if I was probably 17, I'd be mad into TikTok. I love it. I love social media videos. I'm always saying to my daughter, you know, she's so good at art. Why don't you do like a how-to video? And she's not that keen, you know, she's not that keen on doing that kind of thing. But I think when I was 14, I probably would jump at the chance to do that. So make yourself, show your best work on your social media. And I think it'll really work, you know, your TikToks and whatever you love doing, and show people, you know, your face, show, talk and be your real self. And I think that'll really shine through. I think that's very long-winded answer to your question, but that's all the things that's in my head of what I would advise people to do.
That's so valuable. And Mark asks, how do you evolve your craft and how do you stay on top of trends?
I think the answer to that is you have to network with people. You have to, I love education. And I've always, from my young years, always did cutting courses, colouring courses. Like, these were extra things that I did outside the salon. My boss didn't send me on those. I took myself on those. It's something I always did. I just was so interested. It's like I'm a bit of an obsessive person. I used to do karate when I was young.
Oh.
And I didn't do karate once a week. I did it 3 times a week. You know, I went to different people around the country to do, you know, when I did art, it used to be hanging from the ceiling in my bedroom. I had it, the floor was covered in paint. You know, anything that I've ever done has been a bit obsessive. So with hair, I just totally immersed myself in it. And I always had to be knowing, you know, what's next. And when you talk about trends and things, the only way you're going to find out what's next is if you go out and look, if you go out and see what's going on in the world. You know, you have to travel, you have to talk to people, you have to, if you're in your own box, you're not going to see very much. You need to get outside your comfort zone, get outside your box, meet new people, see new things and have new experiences. And that's what gives you new ideas.
Yes. And I guess you also, by doing that, you can maybe create the next trend or give it that twist that makes the new trend.
Give it that twist. And that's what it is. It's like taking, somebody can say, photographer can say, we're going to do an 80s shoot today. Well, you don't want to look like you've went to like a fancy dress parade and you've just done everybody in 80s gear. You want it to look like now. You want an 80s influence, but you want it to look now. You want people to buy into it. You want young people to be inspired by it. You want to sell those clothes or sell the jewelry or whatever, you know, whatever it is you're wanting to showcase, or hairstyle. So nobody wants an 80s perm, you know, like a tight, curly, you know, they want the cool. They want something cool and trendy. And what makes it now is, you know, not copying. Don't copy what they did in the 80s. Take inspiration from it and do your own thing with it. And the only way you can do your own thing is if you've been out and about and get influenced by things, by seeing things. So, yeah.
Yes. Thank you. Thank you for answering the questions from the creative family. And Before we go to the quickfire questions, let's talk a little bit more about mindset. I have two more questions that I would love to ask you before we go into the final questions, if that's fine for you.
No problem.
All right. So, Joanne, we've been talking about how to stay on top of things, how to market, and I think it's very essential to keep, especially in these like changing times right now, it's very important to have a clear mind and a good mindset on that goes well with uncertainty and the things that happen around us. So what do you think is the most valuable skill a creative professional must have in 2023?
I think yeah, being mindful of other people and I was going to say have energy, but it's very hard to have energy if you're not in a good place. So I think maybe being mindful and kind to people and approaching your work that way, to not be, you know, just your about yourself, that the work is about a team, really, because if you don't have your good team, you don't really have anything. So I suppose being mindful and kind to people.
What do you think, how to improve resilience and your mindset as a creative?
I think maybe take time for yourself is very important, and giving yourself a bit of head space and not putting yourself under too much pressure is very important. I think being able to take a step back is maybe better than charging forward, if you know what I mean. It's important to make sure that your mind is clear and calm and that you're in a good place before taking on big projects, or if you're in a big project and you're finding it very stressful, that you're able just to take that wee step back and think, right, you know, just reset, and having the strength to do that sometimes is quite hard. So just again, being mindful of yourself, and because at the end of the day, if you don't have your health, you know, your health is everything, and especially your mental health is very, very important. And just to be aware of yourself, you know, all the time, making sure you're happy, because if you're happy, you know, you can go forward and bring the best version of yourself to the team.
That's very powerful. And I think we're at a point in this show where I would love to move on to the quickfire questions. And we start with, what would be your statement if you could put one on a large billboard?
She did her best.
What is your favorite fun hobby?
Cutting wigs. It really is. Honestly, I cut wigs.
Fair enough.
I do it for fun.
What could the next generation do better than you?
They could do everything better than me, that's for sure. be more positive, you know, be kinder. They could definitely do a lot of things.
I guess there's no way to be kinder than you.
I don't know about that.
But point taken. what would you love for your peers to say about you on your 80th birthday?
Just she was good at what she does. That would be amazing, you know, to say that you did a good job. That's all I would want. I think I love the career that much. She did well.
What do you believe in that others might call crazy?
I suppose a lot of people believe in that. I believe you do good things come to you. That's exactly what I believe.
Yes.
If you do good, it comes back.
Which celebrity or band would you like to meet and why?
Freddie Mercury. I love Freddie Mercury.
Did you see the
movie? So I'd like to go to a party with Freddie.
Did you see the latest?
Oh yeah,
movie?
I loved it.
Oh, that was such
loved it.
And the actor,
Rami Malek, was such an amazing actor. He played the part really well. I just absolutely loved Freddie.
Yeah, I think eventually in the movie, I just felt that it was him. He played so well. It was just mind-blowing.
Did you watch the Live Aid concert in the 80s? Was it 87, 88? I remember watching it on TV. And once Freddie came on the stage, the whole thing just live, it just took off. It was just amazing. I couldn't wait to get home from work to watch it. So yeah, Freddie would be the person I'd love to go to dinner with.
That's amazing. What are your three favorite apps on your smartphone?
Instagram.
Okay. That's very clear now.
Well, probably Instagram, and then I love a wee app called InShot.
Okay.
Do you know what that is? It's like a video thing. I use it a lot. And probably TikTok to steal the music.
Do you use the premium version of the InShot?
No, the free. I'm cheapskate.
Because I was curious.
I get everything free.
I heard, fair enough, but I heard it many times that people like this app, and I tried it myself, but it's a longer time ago, and I haven't used it in a while. But speaking of that, there was another app that was suggested to me. It's called CapCut. Like a cap and CapCut.
Yeah, I've just downloaded it yesterday, actually.
Yeah, and I heard it's really great for doing videos.
I've got some ideas of what to do with it. So I've been watching some online tutorials. And yes, I'm looking forward to you. I just downloaded it yesterday evening.
Way to go.
And if I can just get myself a victim that'll model and let me do a video of them. I love doing videos for Instagram. Anybody that would look at my Instagram would know she's obsessed about making videos. I love them.
Oh, and I remember all the videos you created when about the Sicily project. I was always curious the next day. And I think every morning that we got up, there was a new video of you ready.
Joanne wouldn't go to bed. I wouldn't go to sleep without making a video. I love videos. And then my husband said to me, people are going to say, she's obsessed about making videos, and they'll be switching off. And I said, well, it's my Instagram. I can do whatever I want. People can turn off. They don't have to look at it.
That's it. Absolutely. So last question. What makes you happy?
Oh, just being with people, being around people, being part of a team. That's what makes me happy. In part of a team.
Excellent.
Love it.
So, Joanne, these were my questions for you. And as I told you earlier, you have three questions that you may ask if you like. And I would love for you to ask one question to the creative family, to the listeners. And so they can answer below the post of this episode that we share.
Okay. Now, how do you keep yourself motivated? What is it that you do to keep your mind clear and keep motivated in your work, and not to get, I suppose, worried about things or weighed down by pressure, really? How do you cope with pressures? Maybe that would be a good question.
Yes.
Something I certainly would be interested in is, you know, how do you cope with pressure? That would be
excellent. Do you have any question for the listeners?
How do they like to be inspired? I suppose what platform do they like to use to be inspired? That would be a good question. Like,
yes,
what's their go-to platform? Or, you know, is it social media? Do they use the internet? Do they use books? You know, what's their, is it Instagram lives? Is it, you know, what motivate or what inspires people? Is it live interaction? Is it something that they have to read? Yeah, because it's always interesting to find out where people find their inspiration or their education or their, you know, what do they find that's interesting? Do they find, you know, interactive listening to people on lives, or is it something pre-recorded or something that's like, for me, for hairdressing, I love watching people cutting hair, and but I also love the lives as well. So I think I get more out of the live than I do out of something that's maybe that you have to watch for a long period of time.
So, Joanne, that was your episode. I'm super happy that we had that conversation today, and that you have given so much valuable insights, and you shared your kindness and all your experiences with us. And is there anything that the listeners can do for you?
I hope they enjoy the podcast. I hope they enjoy listening to me. Be kind in their comments. And I just wanted to say thank you very much for inviting me on your podcast. It was great to get to work with you, and I really hope that we get to work together very, very soon. If you ever need a hairdresser, you know where I am. Give me a shout, and I'll come and do hair. And I'm going to get into the NFT. Send me the link, and I'll start working on the digital hair as well, which would be wonderful and open up another new experience for me, which would be fantastic. Because it's something that I didn't even realize about until you spoke about it. So, but yeah, just as long as the listeners enjoyed, if they have any questions, to certainly get in touch, and I would love to answer any questions or be of any help to anybody if I can help in any way. I'd be very, very happy.
Oh, that's so generous. And so we will put your Instagram handle into the show notes, so that people can reach you and can connect with you. And we are very much looking forward to see the feedback on the story that you shared about your image, and also about the question you asked. And so for everybody listening, you can just put your answers into the comments of the respective Instagram post or the LinkedIn post. And we are very much looking forward to have your feedback. And thank you all for listening. Thank you, Joanne, for taking the time to spend this evening with me to talk about all these topics that we went through. You're amazing. And thank you so much for being you.
Thank you so much, Jan. It was really wonderful. Lovely to see you.
Thanks for tuning in to another episode of Creative Industry Radio. I hope you enjoyed today's conversation and took away some valuable insights into the creative industry. I'd love to hear from you and to continue the conversation, so make sure to leave a comment on the respective show episode post on Instagram and LinkedIn, and let us know what you think about the image and the story to it that was shared. And of course, you're welcome to answer the question of today's guest. And if you liked what you heard today and found value in it, why not share the love and forward this episode to a friend or colleague who could also benefit from the content? Your support means the world to me, and a subscription to this podcast would be greatly appreciated. So, until next time, keep being creative and stay tuned for more episodes of Creative Industry Radio. This is your host, Jan, signing off.